right, day 17. Today we are in 1 Chronicles 15 to 17, 21, 22, and 28 and 29. Got kind of a good chunk of scripture here today.
Oh.
So, David, before we get into things, like when I was prepping for this, I kind of felt like I was reading things that I had already read before. Is that a true statement?
It is. When we get into Chronicles, you're almost like it's a recap or it's a second telling of a lot of what already took place in 1 and 2 Kings.
Okay.
So
just want to make sure none of us are going crazy.
No. You're going to see some of the similar stories, but there's some added details here and there. So they focus on some different things. But yes, it's still that telling you what's taking place during kingship.
Are there different authors from 1 and 2 Kings to 1 and 2 Chronicles?
You know, it's an interesting question. I'm going to say yes. I honestly don't know. These are some of those books that nobody really knows. There's theory on who wrote them.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows, but I would assume that they are. But here's the other thing. When you're reading 1 and 2 Kings, and especially Chronicles, almost after every King is talked about, it makes reference, or it's either Chronicles or Kings, but there's references to other books.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing we got to remember is just because of what we have in Scripture, there was actually probably many historical records that were kept on the acts of the king. I mean, if you think about the life and reign of kings, it makes reference even in the Bible, like Persia, there was somebody writing what was taking place.
Sure.
You know, so every decree was you know, written down. So this is what God chose to keep for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
But there was probably a lot that was written.
It made me think about like the Gospels and how a lot of the story is similar but told from different points of view. Which is helpful.
It is. Just gives you a different take.
Yep.
Some different details. So, when we jump into this section, this is we're talking about, it's actually extremely important to the history of Israel. This is the moment where they are bringing the presence of God into the heart of the nation. So up until this time, you have, you know, when they were wandering, they had the tabernacle. That's where the ark was kept. Then the Bible talks about them, you know, storing the ark in this person's house, basically. And it's just kind of left there. Well, that might not seem like much to us, but the ark was the presence of God, right? So this is telling us, it's like, okay, you're settled in the land. Jerusalem now is the home of the king, and this is the center of the nation. This is where all this is happening. This is like, but the ark isn't, the presence of God is not here. So David actually is the one that sees the priority of this, and David's the one that brings the ark to Jerusalem. And we see that, the celebration this was. I mean, I think it's hard for us to fathom. I guess the best I can picture this is if you look back in history when like World War II ended or World War I, and you see the pictures or you see the parades that took place in like New York, this mass of people and the celebration. That's what we see here, is David dancing and celebrating and them sacrificing countless animals and just this amazing thing that's taking place because it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when David finally gets there, you know, the next thing that David has, once the ark gets there, you know, the next thing he starts thinking about is, well, I want to build a temple, you know? And so this again is an amazing moment where, we see that the people are established, right? So before it was the tabernacle because they were wandering, they were not firmly established. So for that time, the presence of God would go with them. Tear the tabernacle down, we would move. Now we're set. You are in your places.
Doesn't that
you're supposed to
like
be.
So exhausting.
It would be unbelievably exhausting. But yeah, especially when you go back to those chapters that tell you how they had to tear it down and all that and put it up. Yeah, it would be outrageous.
Like, it gives us a new like appreciation for just showing up at church on Sundays.
Yes. As someone that did church planning, I know what it's like to set up on every Sunday. And those of you like that were part of this church. And it can get exhausting after a while of just, I'm tired of this. But yeah, so that's what we see taking place is then David desiring to build the ark or build the temple, and God just expressing to him, you know, I know your heart, I know where you're, but it's not going to be you that does it.
Yep.
And that's not a dig on David, but basically it's like because of the warrior that you are, the bloodshed that you have had to, you know, basically you did what you were meant to do, and this isn't this isn't what you're meant to do, is to build the actual temple. Mm-hmm. But what's awesome about it is we see in this section that David did have a massive part in building the temple. He was part of the design, you know, like he helped design and get preparations ready. Like he was getting all the materials and everything ready so that when Solomon came along, his son, it was all set to go. Mm-hmm. So even though David didn't get to be the one to actually build it and see it completed, David got to be the one that basically said, here you go, son, I got everything ready for you, now go get it done. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see here, is just that God establishing that kingdom, right? Sure. God establishing his presence and putting himself in the people and all of that. So
in 21, we see David take a census.
Yes.
And then not too far after that, we see him being punished.
Punished,
he being punished for the for taking the census?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So when anybody reads that, it might sound confusing.
Or the consequence,
you know,
I guess.
The consequence. So basically, yeah. What David did there, and this is, goes back to, as you've been reading all of these, mm-hmm. kings do good things, but kings can also do some foolish things.
Yeah, we know, and David's done some foolish things.
And here's another one he did, and the reason is because God earlier in the Old Testament, and I can't tell you the exact place it's at, but God pretty much can't count the people unless I tell you to count the people.
Right.
And because God was very adamant, the people are mine.
Okay.
They're not yours to count. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And actually, he said earlier in the Old Testament, he said, if you do count the people, or if I do ask you, you have to give a ransom for them, so that mm-hmm. there had to be a pay. So basically, it was God saying, it's not, you don't have the authority to do this because they're not yours. So when David was prompted to count the fighting men, it was pride. Mm-hmm. And it really came down to pride. He's
Satan,
like,
too,
Satan tempted,
right?
Yeah.
So is this similar to, like, in Job, where Satan wants to mess with Job?
Well, of course.
And God allows it?
I'm sure. Because, I mean, you think about the temptations we go through. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important for us to understand that, and some of us might not like to hear this, but Satan can't do anything without God's permission. That's the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. So even when he comes and attacks and tempts us, you know, he still has to have permission to do that. Mm-hmm. And some of us might sit there and say, well, why does God do that? Well, it's one of those things where that's where God's either showing us our shortcoming,
yeah,
or he's showing us how far we've grown. Because mm-hmm. if we succeed in the temptation, that's going to increase our faith. And if we fail in the temptation, that's going to be God then using, you know, the Holy Spirit will prompt us to say, okay, we got some growing to do.
Right.
So that's where that came from. David, okay. for some reason, was just, he fell into this prideful, I want to know how big my army is.
Sure. Yeah.
And there was consequences.
Yep. But God let him choose his consequences.
God let him.
I mean, they weren't great choices.
None of them were. But they still showed David's faith because David said, I don't want to fall into the hands of people.
Right.
I'll fall in the hands of you because at least I know you're merciful.
Yeah.
So I ain't doing this. Yeah. But what's really cool about that, if I remember this passage, the other thing that comes out of this is when David then builds that altar, that becomes the location of the temple. Because there's a reference in here that this is where it's going to be. So even in that, God has this cool design mm-hmm. of how things work together. So